Today's reading is Luke 7:36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and when he went into the Pharisee's house, he reclined to dine. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears, and to dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the reading of the word.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for your beautiful gift of music and for the scripture. Thank you. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think you probably all experienced this. Have you ever, well, you know the phrase, it seemed like a good idea at the time, right? And you've experienced it, you have a thought, you think it'll be great, sounds like the right thing to do, like maybe trying to save a little money by fixing your own brakes. Seems like a good idea at the time, maybe not. You really think that, you know, I can do this. I will follow the YouTube video. I will cut my hair exactly the way they are cutting their hair, and it's going to work out. Yeah. Seemed like a good idea at the time. And I think that's what happened to Simon the Pharisee in our story today. You have to feel for him. He thought, you know what, I'm going to throw a dinner party, and I'm going to invite Jesus. Now, it's true, the Pharisees, they are the subject of a lot of bad press. They do some awful things. They're out to get Jesus, many of them. But we don't know, not all Pharisees were out to get Jesus. And we don't really know if Simon was one of those. Maybe he did just invite Jesus so he and his friends could watch him very closely and then condemn him. Or maybe he invited him genuinely because he thought, I want to get to know this guy. Which again brings us to the thought that maybe you can put yourself in his shoes. When you're making a guest list, inviting somebody for the first time, you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know what it's going to be like. After you find out, you're making a guest list and you think, well, if we invite Tom and Audrey Clifton, then you know they're going to bring Ingrid. And she doesn't shut up. So, you know, I mean, you know this one's coming if that one's coming. And that's what happened here. That's just one of the things that happened here. Simon didn't consider that if he invited Jesus into his home, Jesus' people are going to turn up too. Jesus was just that kind of man. And Jesus' people, they weren't everybody's people. But Jesus comes to the party. And here this sinful woman comes in. She just comes right in. And then she starts making a fool out of herself. She starts washing his feet with her tears, drying his feet with her hair. And then she starts kissing him. And not only is she kissing him, but she's kissing his feet. That sounds, well, I don't know how that sounds to you. But if it sounds bad to us now, in the ancient world, it was even worse because a free person, this woman, never washed the feet of another free person. She has gone way overboard. There are a few times recorded in the ancient world when this did happen, when a free person washed the feet of another free person. One is, we will see on Maundy Thursday. But there are a few times, and what that means, it is a profound expression of complete devotion. It's so rare that it's just really not done. And then there's Jesus. He's just letting her do it. He seems to be enjoying it. And poor Simon, he's not going to say it out loud, be too scandalous to point out, but we read that he thinks to himself, what is going on here? If he's a prophet, he knows who this woman is and what she's done. He's just... And maybe before he can even finish his thought, Jesus is saying, you know what, Simon? I got to tell you a story. And Simon, I wonder if he paused and thought, how did Jesus, was I thinking out loud? And so Jesus tells the parable about two people in debt, and he actually explains it, and the bottom line is she, this woman you say is sinful, she loves me more than you do. And Jesus continues to drive the point home. You haven't even given me water to wash my feet. She's washed them with her tears, dried them with her hair. You didn't anoint me with oil. She spared no expense and poured perfume. You haven't kissed me at all, and she hasn't stopped kissing me when... as soon as she got here. And Simon is regretting this whole let's have a party. Jesus is extra, and it means something big when Jesus was invited to this party. And it's that way for us. When we decide to invite Jesus into our lives, it's a challenge. It's a beautiful challenge, and we face it every day. But did we really know what it would mean, what we were getting into, who we were also inviting when we decided to invite Jesus in? We know it means turning the other cheek and forgiving and giving our allegiance only to God. It means loving our enemies. And it means welcoming those who aren't welcome anywhere else. Why do we do this? Why do we try? I think we can see why in the response of this woman. Because that extraness of Jesus, it's also extended to us. So that when we do turn our back on a stranger, when we do go along to get along, even when it flies in the face of God's way of love, guess what? We are also already forgiven. We are also already gifted God's mercy and tenderness so that we can try again. And this woman, she must have understood that. And she couldn't stop thanking Jesus with her whole person and showing her complete devotion. I wonder what happened to this woman, and I wonder what happened to Simon after this dinner party. Do we think that this woman went and sinned no more? Do we think that after this she led a perfect life? Probably not. I don't know anyone who has. But even as she went, she was changed because she knew that no matter what, she was released from her sins. That there was nothing that could stop God from loving her. And we don't know what happened to Simon, our party host, but maybe the same thing. Maybe. I hope so. I hope that's true for every one of us. And I hope that because that's what Jesus of Nazareth, this man with a strange entourage, that's what he wanted when he moved in this world. That's what he tried to show and to teach, because that's what God wants for us. Because that's the only way that if we know this, if we know that we and everyone is loved, and if we try to express that full devotion, not by sitting in a church or a temple all the time and saying words, praise you, thank you, praise you, thank you, but by in our actions to one another. That is the only way. If we want this for ourselves and we want this for even our enemies, that is when the least of these will not be hungry anymore. We'll not be naked or thirsty or in prison. That's when we won't take up weapons against one another. That is when we won't be divided. And we might say, well, that's not going to happen here. But yet we pray for it all the time. We prayed for it today, that the kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. And may it be so. Amen.